Hello, and welcome to The Campaigns, the actual play podcast from the RPG Academy. I am Michael, and this is Dead Center, episode number 4, Going Nuclear. Dead Center is our newest D&D 5th edition campaign podcast. It is being DM'd and written by the Caleb G, and it stars myself, Scott, Matt, and newer voice to the show, Paul. Now, in episode 3, our characters learned from a small boy that had ran up to us as we had fought off some zombies in an abandoned village that a number of our fishermen from Hayden's Ferry had gone missing. At the beginning of this episode, we meet up with our fourth PC, Quest, who's being played by Matthew. He is a tiefling barbarian. And we learn a little bit more about the missing villagers and where they may or may not be. And so we head off into the woods to try to find them. And as want to do in a good D&D campaign, we find more than we have bargained for. So here is Dead Center, episode number 4, Going Nuclear.
Let's go around the table and introduce players and characters so everyone remembers who is doing what.
I'll start us off. My name's Scott. I'm playing Ruthwall Moltenbrand, a druger or an underdwarf, a diplomat assigned to the above surface world to negotiate dull peace treaties and otherwise subtly work subterfuge on the side with the resistance.
I am Mundus Sapatkag, a half-orc paladin of Kord. I carry a big axe, hang out in the woods, talk to forest critters, and basically act weird and flex a lot. I'm PR, the player, not that, the actual orc. Although my wife would contest that, maybe.
She is the expert. We will default to her wisdom.
I am Michael, and I am playing a dragonborn barbarian paladin named Bra Wrathborn. I am a bit of an awkward social person, and I talk like Batman.
Which Batman, though?
The one Gotham deserves.
I was hoping for Adam West.
Oh, God.
Don't get him trying to do more impressions. It's already bad enough.
And finally, I am Matthew, which is a totally different name than Michael. They do share the same first letter, but let's not, rest on laurels. My character's name is Quest Chieftainson. He is a tiefling barbarian. He is a folk hero to the town in which we are currently in. Pardon me, I don't remember the name off the top of my head, Caleb.
Because you weren't there when we made the name for it?
Yes, exactly.
He's the hero of some town.
My people have been moved and or destroyed, and I think I'm the last of my tribe, and I'm sad about it, but I'm happy to be a hero to somebody.
After you guys spent a little bit of time with Doromir rebuilding his house and reassembling some of his notes and herbalist tools and supplies, you guys were making your way back to Hayden's Ferry, and you heard the situation that a bunch of people in town had gone missing. And that is where we are going to pick up session 2 here. As you get back into town, you see a very large group of people right in the middle of town. The town elder, Vulcan Lestrat, is standing on a stump, trying to yell at people and calm everyone down, get their attention. And the three of you walking back into town see a person you are very familiar with, the strange tiefling individual known as Quest. Quest is tromping around and working his town's folk hero magic, getting the attention of the crowd and speaking to them.
I lean over to Ruthwall and says, "If I hit him in the head with a tree trunk, would that make him a quest log?"
I don't get it.
I sigh sadly to myself at the ignorance and tiresome adventures of my companions, but the diplomat takes over and I say, "Why, yes, that's hilarious. Ha ha, ha ha." In my best, most convincing voice.
As you guys get a little bit closer, you hear that the crowd is finally calming down a little bit so that Vulcan can actually be heard above the complaints and the outcries of sadness and dismay. "Folks, folks, 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 please, please, please. I know this is a tragic situation, but standing here yelling and getting upset will not help find our lost comrades. Quest, 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 please, please, please help me. Help me. Bring some order and calm here." And he immediately sees the three of you walking in. Ah, there you all are. Hurry, 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 hurry. And motions you all over.
I hurry over.
As do I.
I get slightly in front of Bra. Kind of shoving him out of the way.
I would politely take up the rear, except I'm not quite tall enough to see, so I'll politely take the side so I can still see, but it's not a contest between me and all these gigantic people for a shoving match. I would lose.
All right, so Vulcan will bring the four of you off to the side and very quickly explain to you that the group of fishermen that normally go off into the woods at the time of the best fishing haul around here in Hayden's Ferry, they are all gone. There's about 50 men, and they have completely been taken and vanished. Only one small child survived or escaped to come back into town and tell everyone what happened. So there was a huge uproar of families worrying about their lost husbands and brothers.
Oh God, it's happened again.
This happened before?
Yeah, like yesterday, remember?
Yesterday we were in the woods, the day before. We'd been out there for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but this little kid came and said that a bunch of people were missing.
Oh, yes, yeah. Look at that. It's strange that it happened twice in a row. I shake my head slowly. Please do go on, Basil Exposition, or Vulcan Lestrade.
Basil Expedition. All right, you know what? Vulcan is called away because of the need to go calm the townsfolk down, and his assistant, Basil Exposition, walks up. "Hello, gentlemen. I am Basil Exposition. How can I be of service?"
"I believe you had something to tell us, Basil."
"Perhaps a mission?"
"Oh, too right. All these chaps got kidnapped. You need to find them."
"Excellent. Angels go."
"Are there any sorts of clues that you have for us?"
"Basil is from the town of MacGuffin."
"Yes.
I'm just going to go along with this because this is too good. Yes. They were at the normal fishing place, which is that way." And he points off away from town.
"Ah, normal fishing place rock. Yes, I remember it well."
"Basil, I've always been a fan of your vagueness."
"That's not the one that Bra was naked and swimming around in, was it?"
"Nobody fishes there. It's full of Bra."
"Yes, every fish that swims into those waters just dies instantly. We don't know why."
"We don't want to know why."
"No one does. It's that one fishing rock further down, around the bend from that one tree."
"Oh, the one tree, of course." "Yep. Yes. Well, I'll set a waypoint on my map here and we'll just get going."
"Calm, brothers. I know exactly what rock he speaks of."
Wait, you're going with us now?"
Of course I am. That's why we gathered."
"Oh, okay."
"He is the town hero, don't you know? Cheerio, chip chip. Hail to the queen." And so on. "I'm going to have some tea and biscuits." "What?"
Shalom.
No, that's Basil Matzo. He's in the other show.
All right, so I believe at this point, having run out of annoying, tedious one-liners, we troop off into the woods toward that one rock where that one place is, near the one tree.
Around the bend from the one tree.
Oh, right.
See, I was listening to Basil because he and I have a working relationship. When you're the folk hero, you get used a lot.
He and I have a failed relationship. It really just didn't work.
Okay, so you guys head off into the woods. Quest is leading the way because he knows exactly where to go. And after about 15, 20 minutes, you're walking along a very well-worn path through the woods. This isn't anything out of the ordinary. This is the path that the fishermen always follow on a pretty much daily basis. Just remember that at this time of year, this is when the biggest and best haul of fishing can be done. So these guys were all headed off there. And this is a pretty normal thing. This isn't out of the ordinary at all. As you get to the main clearing where the river is, there's a big bend in the river, and there's a bit of a natural dam that makes a good pool for fishing. Everyone make a survival check or a perception check.
All right, we get to use real dice. I'm so excited.
I got a 9 on my survival.
Okay, yeah. I'm not going to tell you what my perception was because it was bad.
Pretty sure I got a nat 20 on that.
Oh! The dark and handsome dwarf sees something.
Wonderful. So all of you are looking around trying to get an idea of what was happening. And Bruthwall, you start to notice a couple tracks on the ground. And your raven on your shoulder hops up and down and pecks you in the ear and kind of nudges you in a certain direction. And you notice a very large, pretty obvious trail of footprints. Human and such being stomped off in one certain direction. There's a lot of drag marks, like people have been tied up and dragged along the ground. You also notice that surrounding and intermixed with all these footprints are a bunch of reptilian footprints, almost looking like taloned claws.
Well, I point this out to my comrades. What do you think this means?
You don't think it was me, do you?
I was actually about to ask you to check your feet and see if they match.
We all obediently look at his feet.
Bra, are you wearing boots or are you bear clawed?
I would assume I'm bear clawed, but I will put my foot into the footprint to see if it's a match.
It is very, very similar, but your foot is about 3 times the size of the footprint.
Oh, okay.
Wait, it's your kids.
Ah! It's your kids, Marty. Gotta do something about your kids.
You can see that the trail goes off in a very specific direction. There was no attempt to use any sort of stealth or subtlety here. It's very easy to follow these tracks.
We will ask Mundus to remain quiet, but to lead the way.
I remain quiet, and I lead the way.
So after a couple minutes of walking, you guys are going towards a bit of a mountain range. Not massive mountains at all, pretty much foothills, but they're definitely rocky and craggy. The woods have fallen away behind you. You are in a relatively open clearing with small bushes, some saplings, long grass blowing in the wind. And you can see ahead of you that the path you are on heads directly into a cave opening. And everyone make me a perception check.
Wow. Again, with the 3.
I got a 3.
Oh, me and Bra hanging out.
I got a 7.
17.
Ooh.
Hey, okay.
Someone's eyes are open.
Got it.
Someone is paying attention. And as you guys are standing there for a second, Mundus, you start to hear something. You're not really quite sure what it is. It sounds like the flapping of very large wings. And then suddenly, that flapping of wings gets incredibly loud. Everyone hears a whoosh of air and a roar like you've never heard before. Just, it sounds like metal on metal growling through the air. Matthew, Michael, and Scott, give me a reflex save.
Everyone, I just heard a roar.
You mean a dexterity save?
Yeah, sorry.
That's an 11.
Ooh.
18.
17.
What did you have, Scott?
11.
Okay.
So
what happens here is with a whoosh of air and heat, you feel a large body swooping through the air down at you. Everyone is knocked to the ground slightly. Bruthwall actually takes the fall a little bit harder because he didn't see it coming and takes 2 points of damage. And you all see a very large creature swoop through the air and alight on the ground in front of you. This is a huge red dragon.
Mommy!
It sits on the ground, stares at you with an evil, intelligent gleam in his eyes, and you hear a laughing that sounds more like rocks grinding upon rocks with a very evil taint to it.
An evil taint.
Yes.
Sorry.
Such a poor choice of words on my part.
Mundus has like the biggest grin on his face, and he's just so happy right now seeing this dragon.
After a quick second of the dragon sitting there, he shoves down with his massive legs and takes to air again, his wings beating and pulling him away, and he wings behind the mountains and disappears.
All right, I'm going to run to where his footprint is and then measure it and go, it's okay, guys. That dragon didn't do it.
I'm still standing there in stunned silence. What the hell was that? Could have at least said hello. That was non-diplomatic. I'm insulted.
Would I recognize that dragon?
His name is Steve.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe I know Steve.
Yeah, Steve the dragon. He keeps sending you invites for coffee. You just never go.
That's what I'm saying. Is this Steve? Because
I'm ducking him.
Because I'm not into hanging out with Steve. He's clingy.
Well, luckily, Steve lives the next mountain over. This is a dragon you don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. Steve has one chipped horn. This guy had pristine horns. Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Pristine horns.
Gotcha.
And that evil taint.
When the dragon flies off, Mundus is going to run after him, and then when he disappears, he's going to slump his shoulders and then come back kind of dragging his axe with his lower lip hanging out.
It's okay. We'll find him.
Oh. I was hoping I'd find another axe in his guts.
So as you guys recover from this happening, you very clearly see that the footprints you have been following disappear into the cave that leads into the mountains behind which the dragon had so recently flown.
I think something went in that cave, fellers.
Well, as you know, Bahamut often sends me portents and signals through nature. So I'm pretty sure that dragon means that this is the right way to go. That or we're all fucked. I'm not sure which.
Well, yeah, but evil taint.
I kind of think it might be both, I mentioned. But I'm more than happy to let you guys lead the way.
Okay. And I jump in front.
Let us be off.
I'll hook my finger through his belt loop and let him kind of pull me along. I'm drafting.
It's a weight belt, so he's really got to get his finger in there.
Alrighty, so you guys go ahead. You enter the cave. It's a pretty wide cave entrance. You can walk two abreast pretty easily. You don't have to duck or anything. As you move through the cave, there are, from time to time, torches just stuck randomly into little nooks and crannies in the wall. They're all pretty low to the ground, but they're all at varying locations and heights. There's no pattern or set lighting put together here. As you walk through this tunnel, you can see that there's very crude paintings on the wall made with some sort of substance. You're not quite sure what it is.
I want to lick it.
Oh, boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Tastes like poop.
Okay, I think this is some kind of fecal matter, fellas.
Okay. I'm glad Michael had video for that.
Do I recognize the taste of what sort of poop it is?
I'm going to say no, because I don't want you to recognize that taste. That's really gross.
It makes sense with my kid. I'm just role-playing, man. I don't know what your problem is.
You don't know what it tastes like other than poop. Do any of you speak Draconic?
I'm pretty sure that yes, I do.
Damn it. I would really hope so. So, Bra, you notice as you glance at these disgusting paintings that a lot of the jumbled writing appears to be text you recognize in Draconic, but it's written by like a 4-year-old. And there's words such as sacrifice, holy, our Lord and Master. And you see very crude sketches of small beings bowing around a large dragon-type figure.
But all the R's are backwards, right?
Oh, yeah. The R's and the E's are all okay. Backwards.
Yeah. Okay, good. Just making sure we're keeping with the 4-year-old theme.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And there's no PHs.
Everything's an F.
And then at the bottom it says age 4.
Age 4. Absolutely. Yep, that's 100% true. Absolutely. After 30 seconds to a minute of walking, the tunnel you're in curves around a corner, and you're in a pretty decent-sized room. The floor is covered with sand and gravel. There are a couple more random torches stuck in the wall here and there. And there are 4 smaller cave openings in front of you. 4 tunnels exiting from this room you are in.
How about it? You want to lick the walls and tell us which way to go?
Just like 1, 2, 3, 4?
If you are walking directly into the room, they kind of go... there's 1 to your left, 2 in front of you, and 1 off to your right.
So we split the party, right?
Yes, 4 ways. I mean, I've killed the Mountain King, guys. I'm pretty... I'm okay.
I'll defer to the burliest members of the party. The bags of hit points that generally precede me into any situation. Well, or I guess I could try and sneak down one and listen, see if I see anything or hear anything.
Mundus is just staring at Bra, seeing which one of them is going to move first.
There's no tracks going down any of the tunnels?
I don't know. Are there? Did you look for tracks?
Can I?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. I will do so.
Is there any more poop writing on any of the walls of any certain tunnel, or is it...
Why don't you give me a perception check?
15? Perception.
What'd you have, Matt?
15.
Ah, okay. And what did Scott get?
I got a big fat 20.
I got an 11.
Cool. Matthew, you see the tracks on the ground. They're getting harder to follow at this point. You still see some human footprints. You still see some drag marks that you are guessing are people or fishermen that have been dragged after they were tied up. But the ground is really starting to get overrun with these small reptilian footprints. And you see them scrambling all over the place. You certainly see drag marks and footprints going to each of the 4 tunnels. But you're pretty sure that there were more off to the one to the right, which is a little bit of a wider tunnel. Paul, Mundus definitely sees more of the poop drawings in this cave.
Okay.
And he actually sees that along that tunnel to the right, the one that is a little bit wider and bigger, there are more drawings that appear to you to be of the big dragon-type creature that the small ones were all worshipping and bowing to. But Scott, what Bruthwall sees and hears, while he does notice these footprints on the ground, Bruthwall is pretty sure he hears some cries of help from the tunnel to the left.
I say, oh dear, I hear some cries for help down this way. I think there may be, this may be where our friends and allies lie. Come quickly, friends.
For Bahamut!
And I will go down that hallway.
Mundus is going to look down the more dangerous tunnel kind of wistfully and then sigh and then follow behind.
I would have started following him once he mentioned that's where he thought they were.
Hooray!
We're together!
okay, so you guys head down the tunnel. It makes a sharp turn to the left, and then opens up into a small room. Immediately upon entering this room, you notice two things. First off, you notice that in the center of the room are some broken cages and some ropes that have been pulled apart. The second thing you notice is that there are very clear human footprints going down two smaller entranceways off of this room you are in.
I believe we go down the one with more footprints along it.
If our goal is to save the townspeople, that's where I would, it's the best place I think we should go.
Well, if you look at the two openings, you see that these are not cleanly cut or eroded cave entrances. They almost appear to have been bashed into the walls. One of them appears to be pretty rocky and broken, but the other one seems to have some plant growth.
I want to listen at each of the tunnel and see if I can hear anything. Like, again, we came down the tunnel because we heard cries. Did those stop, or are they coming from one or the other?
Go ahead and do a listen or a perception check at each doorway.
I got a 14, and no, plus one, 15.
Anyone else doing a check?
Sure.
And Mundus is too upset that he's not going to go after the dragon.
I'll take a check at each tunnel. Okay, that one I didn't hear anything, and the second one, I also didn't hear anything. So it was like I didn't check at all.
I also didn't check at all, apparently.
Okay, well, Bra, you are, you're pretty sure that you hear noise coming from the opening that is more rock-like and does not have the plant growths on it.
Hey, guys, I think I hear something this way.
Let's go that way.
That's the way to go.
So you guys are going to head off to this room. You see ahead of you a longish room, maybe 30 or 40 feet long. Again, it is pretty dark in the cave, but there are randomly torches stuck in the wall, so you have at least a rough idea where you're going. The room you are in is full of stalagmites and stalactites, apparently just in random locations. Some of them reach almost to the ground. You kind of have to walk sideways around them. It's pretty tight quarters, but there's enough of a path to make it through here. As you are walking, though, I want everyone to give me a perception check.
11.
15 again.
10.
11.
Okay. So you are navigating your way safely through the rocks. There's a couple close misses where something feels like it's going to fall on you, and it doesn't. As you are about halfway through the room, suddenly you hear a odd little whooshing noise. And, Bra, you feel what appears to be a large rock whiz right by your head and slam into the ground.
All right, there's now a second flushing sound.
We're going to move past that. And then, okay, so that you hear this rock just kind of slam into the ground right next to you.
Okay. Would my character know what a piercer is?
Or a roper?
It's a good question. What kind of knowledges do you have?
I have nature of 4. I'm proficient.
Sure, give me a check.
18. No, 21.
Well, you know what? You're pretty sure this is not quite a rock.
Guys, this isn't really a rock.
How would a bird even fit in here?
And just as Bra makes that declaration, you hear some other whistling noise. Let's see here. Quest, what is your AC?
17. Well, if I'm not holding my shield, 15.
Well, what are you doing?
I'm not holding my shield, so I would say 15. Although if it's coming from my back, I would make an argument that my shield would technically be protecting me, so I'd still be at a 17. But that's up to you.
Well, it doesn't matter because the rock is falling on your head.
Okay, and... well then no shield.
Yep, and you feel a thud as something slams into you. Mundus, does a 19 hit you?
Yes, alas, it will.
And Bruthwall, does a is an 18 hit you?
It sure does.
All right. The three of you feel a huge thud on your head and shoulders as you take 9 points of damage.
Whoa!
And you feel this impact, and you've been smacked across the head by this large falling thing.
Ow.
As it happens, I yell, "Oh, something hit my head."
Something jumped up and bit me.
And, Bra, you actually realized what was going on and were able to dodge very quickly out of the way. You saw these things coming down from the ceiling. You did not react fast enough to pull any of your companions out of the way.
I'm going to take like a half step sideways so it misses me and be like, whew, that was close. Oh, fuck. When I turn around and see that all three of them have been hit.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly what happens. You see these four, about 5 foot long chunks smack into the ground. They look like rock, but after a second you realize they're alive and they start wiggling and thrashing about. And you very clearly see a huge, massive eyeball with a snake-like pupil looking about angrily. And there is a large grouping of talons and claws, almost like a squid's mouth, at the top of this thing. And you're guessing that that's how it latched onto the ceiling before it flung itself downward at you. And why don't we go ahead and roll initiative?
I have absolutely no idea what these things are, and that's surprising for me.
Well, unfortunately, Mike was right, Mr. Metagamer over there.
I'm not metagaming. If these are something that exist in nature, it'd be like if a great white shark suddenly bit me off screen. At least one of you would be like, was that a fucking shark?
I mean, I'm pretty sure I know what the creatures are that took the kids, but I didn't say that.
You're absolutely right.
Initiative? I got a 9.
Mundus has an 18.
19.
I have an 8.
Okay. Bruthwall, you are going first.
Good. I yelled at my companions, how far can this thing reach?
I don't know.
All right, I guess we'll find out. I start steadily backing away from it. So I'll move. My speed is 25 feet. I'll move 25 feet further away if I am able to do so reasonably. And then I'll take a shot at it with my lovely sort of Eldritch Blast. I'll try to get myself so that I'm still... so that my companions are between it and I. Yes. That
sure.
Sounds like a good plan.
That's absolutely possible.
All right. Then I got a... Does 22 hit?
Absolutely it does.
Fantastic. It takes... 13 points of damage, and it is repelled 10 feet further away from all of us.
Holy crap. You know what? You, Bruthwall backs up, lines up his shot. You catch this creature smack with the force impact of your Eldritch Blast. You actually pick it up off the ground and slam it into the wall it was next to. It thuds with a thickening bang. It just feels so dense and thick. You imagine that if it had bones, you would hear them snapping. It falls to the ground and does not move. Mundus.
Do these look like something I could use my speak with animals on?
Sure, why not?
All right, I'm going to use my speak with animals spell.
Okay.
I'm going to put my hands on my fists on my hip and go, what the heck, man? That was a sucker punch.
Your mind is filled with emotion and chaos. You can't hear a voice responding to you, but mentally you are overwhelmed with hunger and anger.
All right. Well, I'm going to hit it with my axe then.
Go for it.
23 to hit.
Yep.
Versus AC.
Oh, absolutely.
Since I'm using my battle axe in its battle axe configuration, it's going to be 6 slashing damage.
You swing your axe down and around, and you cleave off a chunk of one of these things, and you see a gnashing of the teeth and the claws around its head, and it wiggles and squirms in pain. The one you just hit will actually kind of lurch and try to swipe at you with those claws, but it absolutely misses. The other two that are on the ground are unfortunately next to Quest, and they will again both kind of very thrashingly, they're very clumsy. It's not like they can rear themselves up, but they are just kind of flapping on the ground trying to get close to you. Both of them do nothing, unfortunately, though. And it is now Bra's turn.
So I'm going to spend my trotted around some trickeration, and then I'm going to actually try to stab the one that Mundus is fighting because I want to steal his kill.
Oh, man, that ain't cool.
Go for it.
Bam! That is going to be a 16 versus armor class.
That is a hit.
Okay. 3 points of damage plus 3, so that's 6 points of damage.
Okay. And bottom of the order will be Quest.
Excellent. I'm going to look down at this little creature, which I still kind of don't know what it is. I'm going to brandish my maul, flip it around in my hand, and come down on it and hopefully make applesauce out of it.
Make that roll.
Oh, 18.
That hits right there.
Excellent. 11 damage. I'm sorry. 12 damage. Math is fun.
12 damage.
Math is fun.
Not since Dawn of the Dead have you seen a maul do this much damage.
I don't know. I used to cut wood with a maul all the time. That thing does damage.
Alrighty. That is a resounding blow. You feel the hammer very solidly connect with the thing and smack into it. It reels back in pain, but it is still alive. Top of the order, we will go back to Brithwall.
All right. Well, do I target the damaged thing or the undamaged thing?
There are still there are two that are alive and damaged, and there is one that is undamaged.
I think I'm doing pretty awesome so far. I'll go for the alive and one of the alive undamaged ones. Roll me some hit. That's a natural one. I managed to damage it not at all.
Well, unfortunately, you fire off the Eldritch Blast, and you completely miss all of them. And the Eldritch Blast actually careens off of the rock you hit instead of the creature, and smacks into the wall, doing nothing. Mundus, it is your turn.
Can I, will it be a disengage to leave the one that I'm currently attacking and go towards the undamaged one?
Yes.
So that will be my full action.
Okay.
I'm gonna stare daggers at Bra, just give him the nastiest look, drop my axe to my side, and stomp off over towards the undamaged one.
And you do that so skillfully that the thing thrashing about on the ground cannot attack you.
Nice. And every once in a while, I'm gonna look over my shoulder at Bra and just give him a nasty look.
Let's see. One is on the ground near Bra, one is on the ground near Quest, and they both thrash about and kind of lurch into your shins, and you feel a bit of an impact and a bite from their teeth and grasping claws, and you take 3 points of damage each.
Do not need this damage in my life.
The undamaged one that Mundus was stomping towards thrashes and twists, but Mundus isn't close enough for him to get to, so nothing else really happens. And it is Bra's turn.
All right, so the one I hit earlier did not quite die, right?
Not quite.
Okay.
Don't worry, Mundus. I have this. You're fine.
And I will attack.
On second thought.
No, you wanted that one. You can have it.
Yeah. So I did the thing where I like tried to be really cocky, and I just shoved my trident as hard as I can, but I actually hit an actual stalagmite, not the thing. So it sort of like pings off, and there's a little bit of sparks.
And it is Quest's turn.
I will look at this creature incredulously that it's still alive, and bring them all up over my head again and smash. That is a 21.
Correct. Confirmed a hit.
Excellent. Now I'm using my actual good D6s, so let's hope for 2 sixes. No, worse than before. That is a 8.
Wonderful. You bring the maul down in a powerful blow, and you smack into the thing. It twitches for a moment and ceases to move. Bruthwall.
Well, I think it's going to be another shoot and a miss, probably, but let's find out. Does 19 hit?
Absolutely.
Ooh, hooray!
That's some freaking bonus. Jeez, Scott.
Yeah, I know. It's I have +8 to hit right now.
Wow.
Yeah, Caleb's a really, really permissive DM. I tried not to, but he kept forcing bonuses into my pants.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
I knew you liked them.
Into your evil
That's,
taint?
That's 13 evil taint points of damage.
Were you? Which one were you targeting? The one that was damaged or the one that was undamaged?
Undamaged.
And undamaged, you did 13 yeah. points of damage to it?
Correct. Just firing out the justice of Ra Terra from left and right hands as I dart between stalagmites.
And I'm guessing you have the one thingy that,
yes,
that
it
knocks
also,
him backwards.
It also repels him back 10 feet. All right. Yes,
well, luckily for you, he gets knocked again into the wall, just like the first one you hit. And again, with a sickening thunk, he slams back to the ground and stops moving. Mundus, the one that was in front of you is suddenly blasted back by magical force and dies.
I'm gonna turn around. I'm gonna glare at Bruthwall, and I'm just gonna sit down. Fold my arms.
Is the orc paladin throwing a temper tantrum?
Oh yeah, he's
wonderful.
Very unhappy.
Bruthwall, do you always hang out with children?
Unfortunately, yes.
So Mundus is throwing a temper tantrum. And the one that was near Bra is still kicking, and he connects again with your feet and shins knocking into you. You feel the grasping of these weird little kind of bug talons and teeth bite into your legs. You take another 3 points of damage.
Goddamn little ankle biter.
Luckily, it is your turn.
All right, so now I'm angry. I'm not going to rage just yet because these are more like animals than creatures, but I'm going to lay my trident across its forehead and then just push slowly with a 21 total.
Yes.
And then I will do 9 points of damage as I just slowly lean on my trident.
That is ever so disturbing. But it works. Essentially, you, in the calm of your anger, you put your trident right on that giant eyeball and just drive your trident all the way to the ground until it pops.
That's rough.
And these poor, poor creatures are dead.
They're dead, but they're poor? We've looted their pockets. They didn't have anything? That's too bad.
It's had rocks in their pockets.
No wedding rings?
Yep, just rocks.
Hey guys, rocks fall. They all died.
Just nothing, okay. nothing but a stony glare from Mundus.
Yes. I clearly don't get the joke. Rocks are the holiest of things. Why would they fall on these people? These creatures, I just don't understand. So I believe we move on ahead.
As you guys revel in your success, you hear a cry for help from ahead of
Let's
you.
Let's go.
to aid, and I rush off.
Who said that?
The you rush ahead. The cave. There's a smaller tunnel, but it opens up after just a few paces. You are in a very large room that appears to be just open and wide. No nooks and crannies. Nothing. Nothing in the way. And you see it pretty much dead center of the room, four humans.
What's the status of the humans appear to be?
They appear to be terrified. And they are the ones crying for help.
Are they looking at anything in particular? Anything terrifying? Besides me.
Why don't you give me a perception check there, buddy?
Can we all take perception checks at this juncture?
Yes, you can.
That's a 17 from Quest.
14 for Bra.
I'm staring at the rocks. I miss rocks.
All right, well, you guys see that these four people in the room are huddled together in fear and terror. They are all staring up at the ceiling.
I want to look up at the ceiling.
Hey, we're looking for some lost villagers. Have you seen them?
Do you know any?
As,
you don't seem lost, as but Bra, can you help us find them?
As Bra asks this horribly obvious question, the villagers scream in terror, and anyone looking up at the ceiling suddenly sees a large spider jumping down and leaping at the survivors.
Fuck this, I'm out.
Nobody said spiders.
Bra don't do spiders. Too many legs.
I was about to say, Matt would shit his pants, but Quest, he's cool with it. Whatever. I'll fuck up a spider.
Yeah, you see in a quick moment, descending from the ceiling quickly, a spider about the size of a human, pincers snapping, dripping with venom, approaching these four survivors in front of you. And you get the briefest hint of movement out of the corner of your eye, and you're pretty sure there might be more than one of them.
Fuck no.
Is this something that is within distance that I could jump off the ledge and kind of like football tackle the thing out of the air?
Yes, because that's awesome.
I rolled a one. I rolled a one. Oh, Lord.
Oh, well, so much for awesome. I'm still mad about the whole Bra thing, so I'm not, clearly not focused on my long jump.
Okay, hold on. I'll give you something though. I will let you connect with the spider and knock it away from the survivors, but you are going to be pinned underneath it at the start of initiative.
All right, that's fine. And while I'm doing it, I'm singing "Wrecking Ball" by Miley Cyrus.
And I will also give you, a point of advantage for that.
Okay.
Because that was pretty cool. But everyone give me an initiative check.
Got an 11.
5.
12.
I got a 5.
All right. Bra, what is your dexterity?
No bonus.
Quest, what's yours?
One.
All right. Bruthwall, you started off.
Wow, that's really sad. Hooray for 12. Okay, I will... My strategy has been so effective to date, I'll continue it. Back away slowly, and we'll roll to hit it with the inherent essence of Terra. Does 18... 16 hit?
Absolutely.
All right.
Which one are you targeting?
Wait, there's more than one horrible spider descending from the darkness?
As you are about to fire, your raven makes you aware that there are three other shapes flirting about the shadows.
Wow, that's so sad. Yeah, I'll get the one of the ones that's in the darkness, because I presume that my allies can't see them, given that I'm awesome at seeing in the darkness and it's my native habitat. I got 12 points of damage against one of the points in the darkness. Did I kill the darkness?
Right. you put your hand up to cast your spell. You're actually pointing at the one that is on top of Mundus in the middle of the room. And suddenly, just on instinct, you spin and shoot your magic off into the darkness of the cave. You hear a smack, and a person-sized spider falls to the ground in the very classic, on its back with its legs curling up above it. Totally dead.
Good. I was really worried you were going to say a person-sized person, and I just murdered one of the people we were trying to find.
These humans are trying to hurt these spiders.
Protect the creatures. Kill the humans.
And Mundus, it is your turn. You have a giant spider on top of you.
All right. Did I take any damage from the fall?
You did not.
Okay. I'm going to look at this thing with a big grin on my face, spit in its face, and then whack at it with my axe.
Go for it.
That's going to be a 15 to hit.
Correctamundo, you got it.
7 slashing.
Okay. You connect with the spider. You sink your axe into its side and actually shear off a couple of its legs. It backs away from you enough so that you can sit up. It's still very close to you, though. And it's kind of hissing and spitting with an odd little shrieking noise. It is now Quest's turn.
Okay, so the spider is off of Mundus. Breathwall shot one out of the sky. I have seen the other two in the sky.
You had a feeling that there were more shapes in this room, but you have not seen them.
So the one that was on Mundus is no longer on him, so I run less of a risk of killing him should I take a ranged attack. Sure. Okay, so I'm going to pull my shield and pull one of my javelins, and I'm going to say, "People of Hayden's Ferry, do not fret! We are here for you!" And I'm going to heave my pilum right at the spider near Mundus.
And you can have inspiration as well.
Oh, thank you. That is a 16.
Yep, smacked him straight.
Woohoo! Ooh, 9. Dizzy Dino.
All right. Quest, you heave that javelin so perfectly, you actually catch the spider right in between all 8 of its eyes, shove it back a little bit, and pin it to the ground. It twitches and dies.
Yes.
The four survivors that were there are still shrieking in terror, but they give out a little shout of huzzah. And it is Bra's turn.
So, are there any spiders left?
There's lots of spiders.
At this moment, there's none that you can immediately see, but you could certainly make a perception check.
Okay, I will do so. A natural 20.
Wow! There.
Actually,
I see them all!
That's exactly what happens. You take a quick second to survey the battlefield, and your instincts just kick in. And you realize that flirting in the shadows, flitting about, there are 2 more of these gigantic spiders. One of them is descending with a very jaunty tune. He probably has a nice hat on, maybe a monocle.
Okay, so I'm going to reach up to my mask. And you know how I have 4 points that I can spend? I'm going to spend all 4 of them right now, and I'm going to fucking blowtorch the entire cave. It's like that meme on Facebook. Fuck this! All over the place.
Are you serious?
Yes, goddamn right I am.
Okay.
Can I ask a quick clarifying question? This character has a mask too, Michael?
Yes.
Okay.
I
thought you just, like, forgot which... Okay.
No.
Yeah, Michael has... Or I should say, Bra has a mask that is part of a sacred artifact of Bahamut. And it does all kinds of crazy things, and I forget exactly what they are. Even though I made it up, it's just been so long since I've done it.
Well, like, one point can change the type, one can make it longer range, one can do more damage. I'm doing them all. Like, I'm going nuclear. I'm going the nuclear option. So, I think I do about 4 points or 46 points of damage to the room at this point.
All right. Are you aiming at least up at the ceiling?
Oh, yeah. I'm not barbecuing the hostages, but everything 7 foot and higher is getting roasted.
Okay. I believe your breath weapon had a reflex save.
It is a dex save.
All right, what's the DC?
12.
Wonderful. So you raise your claw to your helmet. Very much like Cyclops.
I was going to say, that's exactly what it sounded like.
What type of dragon are you again? I forget.
I am a gold dragon, so I normally shoot lightning, but I'm using 1 point to change it to fire, 1 point to change it to increase the range, and then 2 points for damage.
Gotcha. Okay, so you belch fire out of your mouth. As you normally do, it suddenly explodes and blossoms into this fireball that just...
It looks like a fire dragon.
A fire dragon swoops out of your mouth, ripping across the ceiling. The three of you suddenly just feel heat and air whoosh up above you. The four survivors scream and shriek and drop to the ground in terror. And a second later, two thunks hit the ground, and you can barely recognize the charred remains of giant spiders. They are not moving.
Wow.
My eyes are closed.
I say, surely you have the fiery heart of Terra within you.
All right, spiders are dead. You've got four survivors in the room.
I'm going to stand up and pull the javelin out of the spider and tuck it in my belt and shoot Quest a dirty look.
Brother, please. These people were in danger.
There were other spiders you could have hit. This one was busy eating me. We're going to have to have a talk about boundaries here, fellas.
The four survivors are still screaming in terror. Two of them are clasping onto each other, shaking, and tears are streaming down their face.
Ah, but my friends, we're here to save you. We're rescuing you. There's no need to fear now. Your heroes have come.
But yeah, we're still looking for those villagers, if you could help.
One of the survivors sobs and wipes away the tears from her face. Thank you, but my husband went into the next room to look for help, and he hasn't come back. I'm so worried. And she's pointing at another door, another cave opening ahead of you.
Thanks for listening to the RPG Academy podcast, the flagship program of the RPG Academy Network. If you enjoy what we do here, then please check out therpgacademy.com and visit our site partners for additional entertainment and gaming advice.
We do this out of love for the hobby and for you, our fans. The podcast and site content will always be free for you to enjoy and utilize. But we do have expenses related to the show. If you'd like to help out in any way, please visit patreon.com/therpgacademy and check out the rewards we are providing for your monthly pledges. We use all funds that come in to improve the show and give you better content and quality.
And if you don't have the coin to spend, don't worry. You can still help us out in many ways. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes and/or Stitcher Radio. You can leave us a 5-star review. Also, if you clear your cookies and you visit Amazon or the Drive-Thru RPG site through our portal, we get a small percentage of what you pay, and it doesn't cost you anything extra.
Just like any RPG, our site works best with open lines of communication. We love talking with our listeners about everything. Please contact us with any questions, concerns, and comments that you have. We also love to hear feedback and experiences from your own games. You can email us via podcast@therpgacademy.com and reach us on social media, such as Facebook and Google+, @TheRPGAcademy.
But Twitter is usually the fastest way to reach us. You can find my favorite co-host, TheCalebG, @TheCalebG.
And you can find my favorite co-host, Michael, @TheRPGAcademy.
Thanks for listening, and as always, if you're having fun, you're doing it right.